The debate over infrastructure spending is heated. That's true here in Wisconsin and across the country. But some places around the world are trying what's called asset recycling. We're exploring what it is on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. When the next Congress convenes next month, the issue of rebuilding America's aging infrastructure will once again be on the agenda. But with power split between Democrats and Republicans, finding a solution that works for both parties may be difficult. The concept of asset recycling is drawing some attention. Robert Poole is director of transportation policy at the Reason Foundation. That's a libertarian think tank based in Los Angeles. He's author of a new report called Asset Recycling to Rebuild America's Infrastructure. Robert, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Kate. It's good to be here.
So before we get into what asset recycling is, what is your assessment of the state of infrastructure here in the U.S.?
It's not crumbling, but there's a lot of unmet needs. We have highways that are really obsolete in many cases for the needs and traffic flow that is current and projected. We have aging water and wastewater systems all across the United States that lose a lot of water due to leaks. We have airports that are not up to the global state of the art, and they work okay, but they're not as good as they could be. So there's a lot of need for improvements to infrastructure, and the problem is how to pay for it and who should pay for it.
Right, because it seems that time's ticking here, and there is gridlock in Congress over how to pay for it. Why are we seeing such gridlock on this issue?
It's difficult. Well, one reason, just take highways, for example. The gasoline tax started 100 years ago when Oregon first passed it as a dedicated user fee, although it was officially a tax. And over time, particularly in the last 30 or 40 years, it has become seen as more of just a tax, in part because it's spent on a lot of other kinds of transportation that don't directly benefit highway users. But so in Washington, the federal gas taxes haven't been raised since 1993, and so they've actually generated about half as much purchasing power in real terms for highway building and maintenance and so forth. So that's a real problem. There's generally a reluctance of people to face up to what it really costs to operate, let's say, water and wastewater systems or highways and bridges. And so the idea is that if somebody else will pay for it, that would be great. And so that's why a lot of state and local officials really hope that Congress somehow will pass a great big spending bill on this that means they don't have to go to their constituents and raise taxes or user fees.
Which brings us to this concept of asset recycling. Can you help us by giving us a working definition of what it is?
Basically, it means for a government, typically a state government or a municipal government, to look at the revenue-producing assets that it owns, such as airports, toll roads, water, wastewater systems, anything that charges users directly, and see if there would be an interest in some private sector companies basically taking over on a long-term lease management basis and paying in advance much of the lease payments and the state or local government would use those proceeds to meet currently unfunded infrastructure needs for things that don't have a user fee attached to them. And some of the things that people are talking about are basic street repairs and refurbishment, other upgrades to aging water systems and wastewater systems, things like that. And so this is not the whole answer, but it could be part of an answer. And I have suggested in a recent editorial that this could be part of a bipartisan approach that Congress could adopt.
Talking with Robert Poole, Director of Transportation Policy at the Reason Foundation, looking at the concept of asset recycling and how to maintain and improve our infrastructure across the U.S. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. What do you think about asset recycling? Perhaps you see a private-public partnership in your area that is working, perhaps not. Join in, 800-642-1234, or ideas at WPR.org. Can you help us by giving us an example of what some asset recycling might look like in practice?
Yes, sure. One recent U.S. example was the airport in San Juan, Puerto Rico. I had flown in and out of there a few times, and it was pretty much like 1960s. Mm. The generic kind of food and gift shops, and nothing much else, kind of decrepit facilities and so forth. So the government of Puerto Rico, about 6 years ago, put out to bid a long-term public-private partnership lease of the San Juan Airport. And the winning bidder paid most of the lease payments up front, which the government of Puerto Rico used primarily for paying off old debt, but also partly to upgrade their regional airports, which they have several, which the Commonwealth owns. And the airport has been transformed. It has state-of-the-art restaurants and gift shops and all kinds of other services that were never there before. And the terminals have been dramatically refurbished. The security lanes have been modernized. So it's by all measures, and the airlines love it. They're very happy with the improvements that have made the airport a much more pleasant time for people who have to change planes and spend 2 or 3 hours.
So that's
a big success.
Robert, what's in it for these investors? Why should they be shelling out the dollars to do this?
Well, they would like to have the revenue stream from the airport or whatever it is, revenues, but they also have to commit to a series of capital expenditures to upgrade and improve the facilities. So the art is seeing whether in a particular circumstance there's enough potential there that you can actually have the improvements paid for by the private sector in that facility that's leased. But without the prices becoming unaffordable for those who use the facility. And that's the key part of this deal. Chicago did a bad example a few years ago by leasing the parking meters, and that ended up having a significant increase in the rates and a high profit. There was really virtually no capital expenditure needed by the company. So the service was the same, but people were paying a lot more for it.
And so that specifically is what went south in the Chicago model there?
That went south. And also the city did not use the money to invest in new infrastructure. They basically used it for short-term budget balancing. And that's, you know, you can do that once, but you don't have anything permanent to show for it. Whereas here's another case. The state leased the Indiana Toll Road. Now, it already had a revenue stream, of course, from the toll revenues. And the private sector was able to repave much of it, rebuild and modernize the service plazas that people could stop at, and they put in electronic toll collection to speed things up. So there were benefits there. But the state got something like $2 billion worth of new highway improvements, a statewide program that was a big success politically. So this was a win-win for the taxpayers of Indiana and for those who use the toll road.
And we're going to get back to the Indiana situation. We're talking about a new study out by the nonprofit think tank Reason Foundation. Looks at how long-term leases could put money back into our roads, bridges, airports, and other aging infrastructure. Getting your thoughts as well, 800-642-1234. What do you think about asset recycling? Stay with us on The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. Countries around the world will need to spend $97 trillion updating their infrastructure in the next 20 years. That's from a report last year by the G20's Infrastructure Investment Hub. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about a new study by the Reason Foundation that sees asset recycling as a way to capture hundreds of billions of dollars and funnel it into state and local governments for new infrastructure spending. We're talking about the asset recycling concept and getting your thoughts on it at 800-642-1234. How do you think we should fund our infrastructure needs going forward? What questions do you have about public-private infrastructure deals? Call in, tweet us at WPR Mornings. Robert Poole stays with us. He's Transportation Policy Director at the Reason Foundation Think Tank, and he's authored a new report on asset recycling. Robert, where we left off, we were talking about Indiana, and you pointed out such a success story. But at the same time, 2014, less than 10 years after the start of the lease, the operator of Indiana's toll road filed for bankruptcy. While the lease, you know, has taken over by a new company, it does raise questions about the stability of this kind of model.
Well, it does. In that particular case, the company used very what we call highly leveraged financing. In other words, it took out more debt than it actually cost them, and they had the equivalent of a balloon payment coming due about at the time when they filed bankruptcy, and the Great Recession that hit after the financial crisis had devastated truck traffic on the Indiana Toll Road. So their revenue just wasn't sufficient to make that large payment. So they filed Chapter 11. The good news, though, it turns out to still be a big win for the state and for taxpayers of Indiana. The new company that won the bidding is a consortium of U.S. public pension funds that actually paid more than the original lease price. And so the bondholders were made whole. The taxpayers of Indiana did not put a penny into that project because the new operator, financed by the pension funds, did a very conservative financing with about half of it was equity and only about half was debt. So they are insulated from future, if there's a future big recession that causes traffic and revenue to go down, they have a lot of wiggle room that the original company didn't have. So it's turned out to be still a very much big win for the state and the taxpayers and for users of the toll road.
So they're not going to be hit by a perfect storm that they just didn't see coming.
Exactly. The whole industry, the whole toll industry, public and private, learned a lot from what happened in the aftermath of the Great Recession. Mm-hmm. And so the forecasts now that on which bonds are being financed for toll road projects are much more conservative than they were prior to the Great Recession.
So when we're talking airports, we're talking toll roads, are these companies that lease these assets free to do what they want to them?
No, you actually, a big part of this is a complicated, like 500-page contract that spells out the government oversight. And the government oversight includes on a toll road, for example, or an airport, limits on the extent to which there can be increases in the rates charged to customers and airlines, and in the case of airports and cars and trucks on the toll road. So that's legally spelled out in the agreement. There's all sorts of performance measures that can include financial penalties, and there's actually always in these deals there's a provision for the state or the government party to terminate for cause the agreement, which means throwing out the company. And the company, because it signs that agreement up front, understands that it could lose its investment if there's a termination for the states for cause by the government. So that's a very powerful motivator to live up to the terms of the deal and to meet the performance requirements.
It seems Australia has been doing this. As you look internationally, what have you seen abroad when it comes to asset recycling?
Well, the country, Australia, as you mentioned, and it's in our report, is the country that really put the term into the language. They started, the federal government in Australia created an incentive program for the states in Australia to sell or lease revenue-producing assets and use the proceeds for other infrastructure. The federal role was to say, if you do this for a particular facility, we will give you 15% of the net amount that you receive from the deal if you commit to put all the proceeds into new infrastructure. And so that the Australian national government used a few billion dollars to generate about $20 billion of transactions by state government, mostly New South Wales, which is where Sydney is located.
Let's take a call now. Let's go to Pat joining us from Wauwatosa. Hi, Pat. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, I just woke up to listen to this program. I'm assuming he is speaking to the tollway when he's speaking of the facilities along the road in Indiana.
That's correct.
Yes. Well, you know, I've driven that many times. For years, we avoided having to stop in Indiana. The facilities were so poor. And in last year, we went, and I must say, this is just about the worst example of privatizing. They seem to have two floor plans, my daughter said, small and smaller for the stations where you stopped to rest areas or if you wanted food and outside you could buy gas. And in the plan, they forgot to provide a storeroom. So every place we stopped with these new facilities, you tunneled through little boxes where they forgot to provide in this small, square, bright, new, well-lit. It is one of privatizing is not always the best. States have to be willing to spend money and do it right. When you go into Ohio, the contrast with the beautiful places they have along there, they've been working their way west on the state highway.
Pat, thank you so much for those observations. Robert, you know, she sees a stark contrast when she goes across the border between Indiana and Ohio.
That's very disturbing to me, and I wonder if the state of Indiana has had proper oversight of that refurbishment. If in fact they're finished, and they did held an opening ceremony a few months ago saying that the job was completed, I'm very surprised what she has said, and I don't doubt that she's reporting it accurately and seeing the contrast with Ohio. But the state may have been a little bit falling down on the job if those facilities are not finished and still have stuff stored out in the open, which strikes me as a very poor way to do.
You seem confident that this is something that both political parties can get behind, but could you see that Democrats arguing that any kind of privatization is a slippery slope and be hesitant to get behind this?
I can certainly. I've had discussions with the staff on this subject last year, the incoming chairman of the House Transportation Committee, and his staff was not cool. They asked me to come in and brief them on it, but when they really started to think it through, they were not happy with it. Well, and I don't see the Democrats as being wild about this idea, but I think if you're going to have a bipartisan measure, the Democrats are going to insist on more federal spending. The Republicans deserve to get, you know, their piece of, you know, their priorities. And so my idea of a compromise would be that things like asset recycling and a greater federal encouragement for public-private partnerships would be one of the things the Republicans offer in exchange for accepting the Democrats' insistence on new federal spending. So that's the scope of a possible compromise that I've outlined.
Are you looking at federal government or states really to lead the charge on this, do you think?
I'm looking at the federal government to provide incentives and to remove federal obstacles to public-private partnerships. There's only a limited amount to which these deals can use tax-exempt revenue bonds, and so that could be expanded to make these deals more financially feasible. And if the financing costs are lower, then the rates, you know, the rates that customers pay would be lower proportionally. So there are things that the federal government could do to get to make it easier without being directly involved. But almost all the infrastructure that needs refurbishing is owned by state governments or municipal governments. So it's really up to the federal government to either for some combination of providing additional funding and making it easier to do sensible things at the state and municipal level.
Why don't we see more of this going on at the state and municipal level?
Well, there is a fair amount in the highway field. Six or seven states have done billion-dollar scale public-private partnerships to add things like express toll lanes to expressways. That Virginia, Texas, Florida, and Colorado are among the leaders in doing that. We've only seen the one airport so far in the United States, although Congress recently, a few months ago, liberalized the law so that it make it easier for airports to be long-term leased in the way that Puerto Rico did. So this is early days in the United States for the long-term PPPs, as we call them. But Europe and Australia and the larger countries in Latin America have been doing this for several decades. So there's a lot more experience overseas than we have here.
Well, Robert, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm delighted to be here. Thanks for having me.
Robert Poole is Director of Transportation Policy at the Reason Foundation. He's author of a new report called Asset Recycling to Rebuild America's Infrastructure. Coming up next, as the nation reflects on President George H.W. Bush's legacy, we talk about the role of his funeral will play and how it fits in with those of past leaders. That conversation after the news. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.